Hey, it's David D. Welcome to another edition of Interviews with Dating Gurus. Today I'm talking to a friend of mine that I've had for a few years. Like many of my friends who are really successful with women in dating and also teaching success with women in dating, this gentleman was introduced to me by our mutual friend Clifford from Cliff's List fame, who you may have heard me interview several months ago. And he goes by the name of Zan. And what fascinates Zan is what he calls naturals, and it's what I call them too. These guys that have, you know, what you might consider a natural something about them that attracts women. And he's actually created a DVD series called The Way of the Natural, and we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about naturals, what they do, and Zan's insight into that. So welcome, Zan.
Thanks, David, for being here.
So why don't you... you know, give me a little bit of insight here. Introduce me to, you know, how you see a natural, and maybe you could tell me a little bit about how you became fascinated with them and what you've studied and what you've learned.
Well, sure. What happened with me is, you know, I'm often asked, you know, what credentials do you have? What do you know, or what did you study, or what was your epiphany that made you have any kind of knowledge on the subject of men and women? And the short answer to that is that I was never good with women when I was younger. And at one point in my life, I decided to try and understand and get this part of my life put together. And I've always been fascinated by guys who are what we would call natural. We all know somebody. We all know somebody, a friend in school or somebody that we know who has a facility with women, who is like, who moves among women with ease. And that's fascinated me since I was quite young. And so I have spent my life trying to understand that concept. What makes these guys so compelling to men and to women? And so, I mean, that's what I've been studying and continuing to try and understand. And when I was younger, I thought, okay, What is it about these men? What do they have that other men do not possess? Why do women allow them certain things in their life and certain liberties that they would never allow other men? And somebody will shout out right away, well, it's self-confidence. But it isn't just that. There's something else. There's something else compelling about these men that women naturally gravitate towards. They have some kind of aura, I guess you could say. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You know, there's another piece that maybe I'll throw you for conversation food here. That is, when you talk and you speak, and you know, you've spoken to my programs and others I've been to, and there's a certain knowing that you have called it's okay to be successful with women, and that women
right.
won't resent you for it, and that there's not something morally bad about being successful with women. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it's a good thing.
Exactly. And, you know, like when I first started on this journey of self-discovery is what it is. I've always been fascinated by the notion that there are men who women just absolutely accept into their life. They open up their hearts. They open up their bodies and everything about them, because these men are so compelling. They have something about them, and it isn't money, and it isn't fame. There's something else. And I asked myself one day, I said, you know, and this question really threw me for a loop when I first asked myself this. I said, you know, have you ever been a woman's fantasy? Has any woman ever fantasized about you? And that question stalled me in my tracks. And I thought to myself, if that isn't true, no woman has ever fantasized about me. If not, why not? And so I became a student of women, and I became this this guy who sat at the feet of women, metaphorically speaking, and asked them 1,000 questions. I went out and I interacted with many, many women over the last however many years, and I've learned a lot. And one of the things that they've told me, the thing that is overriding theme in what they've told me all these years, is what they're missing in life. And what they're missing in life is the notion of seduction. So what you're saying is absolutely correct, that it is okay to be this guy who does not hide his desires and is attracted to women and lets them know it. It's absolutely okay to do that because there are men that do that and women allow it. You don't have to hide your natural inclinations as long as it comes from the right frame of mind.
Why do you think, I'm just curious, you know, what your perspective is, but why do you think that guys kind of shy away from feeling proud of their desires? You know, why is it that we, you know, cringe as men a lot of times mm-hmm. when we want something from a woman, especially when that something is sex?
It's because, you know, what's happened today in our society is that we have been conditioned and socially programmed that that's bad. We've been, we've probably heard this before, but we've been raised the first generation ever in thousands of years that is raised largely by women. We were raised by women and women raised men to be a certain way with safety and with comfort. And what we've lost today is the whole notion of manliness. And women find that, women feel lost today too, because they're not finding the kind of men that would raise their level of inspiration as well. So we've lost that.
So you're bringing up something that I think is, you know, kind of key here, which is we're a generation of men, you know, largely raised by women. We also have this, you know, maybe religious, moral undercurrent called sex is bad, you know, maybe weaving through all this stuff. And on top of it, we got the extra bonus called the women's movement, which for a while there, women were really running around saying, you know, men oppress women, men are bad, men are angry and violent, and, you know, we don't want any of that stuff.
Right.
And what, you know, got thrown out, you know, the baby that got thrown out with the bathwater was that there's actually something that's very magical and special about, you know, what you might call, quote unquote, a real man. And that when one of these men shows up in the presence of a woman, she picks it up with a, you know, kind of a set of sensors or a radar that's deep inside of her. And that guy really stands out.
Well, that's the thing. Like what we've lost today, the women's movement has been very good for women because it has given them a level of equality and independence when we were a patriarchal society for centuries. And so it's been very good in that respect, but we've lost something along the way, and women recognize it and men recognize it. Men have lost their utility to women. We are no longer needed as providers and protectors that we've been for thousands of years. And so men today feel lost. Women have demonstrated that, you know, that in today's society, they do not need men to be their providers anymore, nor do they need men to be protectors for them. And so men are in this kind of loss of identity state, and we're raised by, you know, by the media that men should chase women and that there are no differences between the sexes and that we need to supplicate to gain a woman's approval. We've lost something fundamental that women are lacking as well. And everywhere I go, women are saying, where are the real men? We've lost that. So it's been good on one side, but it's been bad on the other side, where we've lost that whole notion of being able to be manly, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I've been in that catch-22 many times trying to figure out, well, okay, so a woman wants a man to take the lead and make decisions and be a man, but she also doesn't want a controlling, domineering jerk
right.
that marginalizes her value and makes her worth less than him.
Right, exactly.
And how do you fit these two things together? And the reality is that just because a woman wants you to maybe be decisive, take the lead, and quote unquote be a man, doesn't mean that she wants you to do it in a way that makes her less valuable than you.
Exactly. And we don't want to return to the whole notion that, you know, like where women were suppressed for centuries. We don't want to return to that. But we do need to return to the notion of masculinity. We've lost it, and women are lacking something today. And you said it earlier in this interview that it is okay to be this guy who loves women. And that's what women are lacking. We have to mask our desires in today's society because we don't want to be too needy. We don't want to come across as being this guy who is too needy to women. And so we try and portray indifference. And that's the opposite of what I try and talk about. I think that the guys who are really compelling to women are the guys who absolutely adore women and delight in them. And women recognize those guys within 30 seconds of meeting. Right away, they know. They know right away that guy is different than other men. He is not afraid to show his desires for me. He's not going to be just my friend. He's never going to come across on that level. And he has a compelling way of moving through life that women are absolutely attracted to. It's a difference between trying to manipulate women and try and force the situation to go your way. The difference between that and just being the way you are, being compelling force of nature that women just absolutely gravitate towards. That's the key. That's what is interesting to me.
As you're talking, an image came into my mind. A couple of months ago, I went to see the musical Wicked. Have you seen it by chance?
No, but it was playing in Manhattan when I was there, and I didn't get to go see it.
Okay, so I saw it in Chicago.
My girlfriend saw it, actually.
Oh, yeah, it was great. And this this girl that I'm seeing took me to see the play, and it was kind of the first time I had been to something quite like this. And what was interesting about it is that the story is essentially the portrayal of the history of the two witches in The Wizard of Oz,
mm-hmm.
and kind of what happened before The Wizard of Oz and then actually during the movie. And it shows this other side, and it's a great reframe on, you know, entertaining and so forth. And what it made me think of is that for most guys, their reality is that they start interacting with attractive women and that the women come across as being what we might call closed,
right,
or not open to them, not receptive. But there's this other story that if you could see the other perspective of these, I think, relatively rare naturals or real men or what have you, that when one of these guys shows up on the scene, that it's totally different, that the woman responds completely differently,
right,
that she can be a very receptive, open, kind of sexually receptive, emotionally receptive, and very open in a way that most guys have never seen. But because they never see it, they don't even think it's possible, and therefore they don't go learn what it takes to create that.
It's interesting to me too, because what is fascinating about these men is that they don't – there is no externalities, if you will. Everything that they do comes from their heart, from their center of being. They have a clarity, and they have a purpose, and they have an understanding that most men don't have. And women recognize it immediately. They know. And exceptional women, as you said, like the more a guy gets familiar with women and has experiences with women, the less validation he needs from women. So the better you get with women, the irony is, the better you get with women and the more understanding you have of women, the more attractive you are to women, and yet the less you need them to validate yourself that you are this guy. And that's what's interesting. These men move through life unhindered. Women allow them into their lives. And I don't know how many times women have said to me, when I would ask them a question, you know, why did you do this? Or why were you so compelled along these lines? And they would say, I have no idea. It's because you're different. And that is the interesting thing that I'm trying to describe. And it's very philosophical and it's very difficult to try and nail down. And we all know, like we said, the natural friend. But the natural friend, if you go up to him and say, listen, you know, like, why are you so good with women? What do you do that other men don't do? He'll look at you funny and he'll kind of say something like, well, I don't know, just be yourself. But we know that doesn't work. There's something else. And so in my DVD series, I'm talking about that. What is the essence of these guys? And what traits do they have that other men don't have? And I don't think it's ever been described in quite the detail before, but it's very, very interesting subject to me.
Mm. So something that came to mind is that women kind of pick up on, you know, using their sixth sense radar system, where you're at as a guy. And I think you could probably sort of divide it, you know, roughly, and, you know, I'm being very general right now, into, you know, a few different levels. You know, number one is the guy that just doesn't get it. He doesn't know what he doesn't know. And when a woman picks that up, he just fades into the background, becomes one more of the 3 billion men that are running around on the earth. Just man as gender kind of thing. Next, you know, a guy learns some techniques, maybe how to get past his fear, learns a couple of ways to start conversations or whatever, and starts having a lot more success because just being there, you know, will get you a lot more success than not being in the game at all and having some simple tools to get you from point A to point B, you know, can be very effective. And then you start getting into these other levels where, you know, maybe you either have a guy that starts to get it, starts to see it as a whole, or even maybe moves to the level where he becomes one of those fun, adventurous kind of guys that women just want to be around because she doesn't know what is about to happen next. So, you know, you cross that tipping point into now you're the kind of guy that women want to be around. And then, you know, kind of the way I see it, you go to this level called you're the kind of guy that's relationship material, but not in the negative way. It's like you're desirable relationship material, not like comfort, like my security blanket, a guy that'll just, you know, kiss up to me and I know he won't ever talk back to me because, you know, he doesn't have the self-esteem. But I'm talking like the prize. And then there's almost this next level called the ultimate catch. And this is, I think, kind of like the naturals you're talking about, a guy is so, he gets it at such a level and he's such a catch and he's such relationship material that almost any woman will accept almost any amount of his attention.
Exactly.
Just because she wants to be around him.
Exactly. And a woman will never be offended by you expressing your sexual desire for her. As long as it comes from with no hint of presumption. If you come across as needy in any way, and what's compelling about these men who are naturals is they will go up to a woman and they will be absolutely smitten by her and let her know right away. The first thing they say is like, wow, you're dazzling. Who are you? And why are you not my girlfriend? That's what they'll say. I mean, I said that to a girl 2 weeks ago in a pub, and she was dazzling and I could not take my eyes off her. And I was talking to another girl at the time who had just given me her number, and I was interacting with this other girl, and I saw this girl walk by me, and I said to the girl I was talking to, I said, excuse me for a minute, and I don't know why, but she was just compelling. There was something about her, and I stopped her and I turned around and I said exactly that. I said, you know, like, I don't know who you are, but you're dazzling, and how come I've never seen you before, and why are you not my girlfriend? And I talked to her for about 20 minutes, and she was absolutely amazing. And
was she your girlfriend by the time you left?
Well, on the way. Absolutely. Like it's like it, because it, I complimented her. I said, you look dazzling. Who are you? Why have I never seen you before? And yet you can do that because it comes from a different place. It doesn't come from a place of me saying I need a girl like you and to validate me, to make me feel whole. What it does come from is a place like, my tone and my attitude is that I need a girl just like you. You'd be a great girlfriend for me, but it isn't needy. And there's a big difference. And it's hard to describe that because you start in a place where you're starting out with your journey with women and you start to compliment them and buy them flowers and do all this kind of stuff. And we learn quickly that that doesn't work. Women go, whoa, you're needy. And thanks for all the presents and give me rides and buy me dinner and all this kind of stuff. I love it. Okay, so we learn that the jerks get all the women, and so we back off and learn not to supplicate, I guess you could say. But there's a third level, and that third level is that you start to do all those things again. You can still compliment her, you can still buy her things, you can still open the door for her, you can still be this guy. But it comes from your center as opposed to your neediness. You don't need validation. And that's very compelling to a woman because you have all the traits of the nice guy and all the traits of the bad guy, all mixed into one. And so I've always thought this is a very interesting concept because women like the nice guy because he's very attentive and he buys her flowers and he does all these wonderful things. He communicates, he listens to her, he reads to her in bed, all these wonderful things. Women love that. And they say they want it in all their, you know, their dating profiles, etc. That's what they want, long walks on the beach. But what they don't like about the nice guy is his clinginess and his neediness, and that he puts all his attention on her. So now you look at the women who are, or you look at the bad guys, or the jerks, as we call them, and what attracts women to them is the fact that he has drama in his life that isn't her. He has something else going on in his life that isn't focused on her and is massively attractive to women. What they don't like about the bad guy or the jerk is that he is, he's mean to them and he's a jerk. So if you take the two elements that are good from the nice guy and the elements that are good from the jerk and you put them together, in other words, you have a guy who is attentive and is communicative and does delight in her, and yet he's not completely available. He still has a purpose that isn't her. It's very attractive to women. You put those two together, you have the perfect guy.
Yeah. Okay, so, you know, comments on two things. One, I believe that it's probably many times harder to maintain what you might call a fulfilling, growing, evolving, happy relationship with a woman mm-hmm. than it is to meet a woman.
That's right.
Right. And especially if you're dealing with a strong, intelligent, attractive woman that has high self-esteem and, you know, has her emotional life together and
right.
a good relationship with her family. And this comes as a great surprise to most men who think, oh, once I learn how to get dates, my life's going to, you know, everything's going to be great. Then they kind of hook into one of these, you know, giant sailfish mm-hmm. and just have no idea what's going to come. And maybe they, you know, get hammered a couple of times before they realize, well, I've got to learn this other thing. But women can sense this
mm-hmm.
and sense that kind of that stability or that power that you have. And if you're at that level where you know how to manage a longer term relationship, then everything else kind of comes natural. And then the other thing was, you mentioned something about how, you know, you won't get in trouble for expressing your desire for a woman as long as you're doing it authentically and,
mm-hmm.
you know, the way I heard it, without an agenda.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Right. And I think that it's really key to understand that if you're saying something with an agenda, other people will usually pick that up. Something about your communication will say there's something wrong with this. If you say something from a place of insecurity or neediness, same thing goes. And if you say it from a place of, hey, I've really got my act together and I'm stable in my life and I've got a direction and I have self-esteem and I've got goals and I'm doing my thing, but hey, you've got my attention and I'm expressing something authentically to you.
Exactly right.
That magical combination, it's so powerful. You know, I think of, you know, if you see, you know, you see someone at a funeral and the big, strong guy who's the, you know, the grandfather who's 60 years old, who's never cried and all the family, you know, has never seen him cry. And all of a sudden he breaks down and starts crying. That's when everybody starts crying.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Right. And it's because it's authentic.
That's
it's
right.
real. It's unusual. And there's no agenda there. And it's not coming from weakness. It's coming from authenticity.
Yeah, and that's what's compelling about these men is that, and they're rare, to be very honest, but every seducer, I guess you could say, or man who's been good with women throughout history has had that same element, and that is he understands, he doesn't have, what people make the mistake of today, guys make this mistake all the time. They get a girlfriend, and all of a sudden, they put all of their attention on her. That girl becomes the reason and the purpose and the meaning of his life. And everything else is centered around her. He changes his music that he likes to listen to. He alters himself for her because he thinks that, you know, that he won't get a woman like her ever again. Guys who are good with women would never do that. They have a purpose in life, like you said, that isn't her. It doesn't mean he doesn't focus and delight in her. he's still focused on her. And he's like, absolutely, like, you know, he lets her know, like, wow, you are like wonderful. He lets her know that. But it comes from a different place, like you said. It comes from a frame of reference of knowing who you are and having a state of grace, I guess you could say, that you are doing something in life with or without her. You want her to come along, and you'll miss her if she doesn't come, but you're going anyway. And that's the whole notion of these guys who are good with women. They do not make her the adventure. They realize that women want to be taken on an adventure. They want to be part of something larger than themselves. And that's what's compelling about these men. And everybody through history who was good with women had that very same trait. And I talk about that in my DVD series, where I talk about the traits of a natural, and that's one of them. One of the traits of a natural, and every man who's ever been good to the women has that trait, that he has a purpose that isn't her. He doesn't put all of his attention on her. He is going somewhere, and he'd love it if she came, but he's going anyway. And he'll miss her if she doesn't come. So it's a mindset, and it's rare. And what the other thing, David, that's very interesting about naturals is we think these guys are natural, and I can only approximate that level of ease with women. But the secret of naturals, and nobody knows this, but the secret of them is this. Nobody's born with it. Nobody is born being naturally good with women. Guys who are good with women, all your friends from high school or from college or from wherever who are good with women are that way because they became that way. They decided to study women, what they did was they interacted with women and they retained the things that worked and discarded the things that didn't work. They learned it. Naturals are self-created. And I really do believe that. And I believe that anybody can do it along those lines.
Well, the good news too is that when you look into your own experience, you see that for the most part, the guys that you know who are naturals, typically, you know, if you get a group of 10 guys together and every one of them talks about the three guys they've known in their life that were just amazing with women,
right?
Those 30 guys, you know, 25 or 28 of them were just regular guys. They didn't have, you know, a private jet and a mansion, and they weren't rock stars.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't supermodels. They were regular guys. And in a lot of cases, they were, you know, older or overweight or bald or poor,
right,
or drove old lame cars or lived with their parents or, you know, all the stuff that we would think of as disadvantages. Those, you know, the interesting thing is that the naturals just prove empirically just by looking at them that that stuff is not the problem.
That's exactly right.
And then I don't mean to interrupt you, but I was just going to say, you know, I interviewed Neil Strauss, who, you know, wrote the book, The Game,
mm-hmm,
who's spoken at my programs and who, you know, and, it's funny because he's told me stories, you know, as a journalist, he's interviewed all the most famous people alive. And, you know, he tells me that a lot of these rock stars and famous people have a lot of trouble because they can't even succeed with a woman who's walking up to them and, you know, essentially saying, I'd like to have sex with you.
Right, right.
And so that's not all of it, you know?
Exactly. And those men, like a man who has a yacht and is famous can have a different woman in his bed every night. We know that. It does not mean he's good with women. There's a difference. There are men who are good with women who have, it has nothing to do with the trappings of success. It is everything to do with how compelling they are and how they move through life. Women are massively attracted to men who know who they are and have this certain body language. Who can give, like Voltaire said this, he said, give me 5 minutes to explain away my ugly face and I can bed the Queen of France. So there's a perfect example of a guy who was not good looking, not anything. And yet he fundamentally knew that he can give women what they want. Women love to be around men who are absolutely attracted to them, who delight in them and do not hide it. That's our mistake today. We try and come in indifferent and, you know, apathetic, like I'm the prize. I mean, we say this and we're taught this. I'm the prize and it's her loss if she doesn't want me. But a guy who's really, really good at the women, that notion doesn't even come into effect because it's his loss too, because I liked you and, you know, you're cute and you should be my girlfriend, but I'm going anyway. And so that whole notion, when it comes from a place of a centered portion of your being where you know who you are and you're not needy, and you don't need validation, you don't need to high five your buddies because you got this girl. When it comes from that place, women recognize it immediately. The women are smart and they see it and they can sense it. They can sense in a room what you're all about within 30 seconds. They know. And they know if they're going to be just friends with you, they know that. So
you said that women are attracted to men who know who they are. And that's one of those things, could mean anything, but struck me as powerful. Will you elaborate a little bit?
Yeah, it's, as you said, when we start out, we try and, everybody has different goals. At one point in our life, we want to get laid. And at other points in life, we want to get a girlfriend. Or some men might want to find the one. Some men want to find somebody to marry. And some other guys might want to have multiple girlfriends. None of that matters. Nobody can judge anybody else, because what's compelling and what will work for all of those mindsets, or those goals, I guess you could say, is if you delight in women and recognize that they're beautiful and let them know it without a frame of neediness. And it's a fine line. It's a very fine line, but the naturals of the world know how to do that. Women want to be seduced. Women are complicit in their own seduction. That's what the guys who are natural with women recognize, is that what women are missing today. We know that the number one genre of books sold in the world today, by a wide margin, are romance novels. And there's a reason for it. Women are missing romance and passion and seduction. And a man that can come and inject that back into her life, you know, she's got her normal life, she's got her bills, she's got her banal existence, where there's no men that come and give her that kind of passion and spirit again and make her believe again. When a man does come along, she will never forget it. Through all her interactions in life, she may be married again, she may be divorced, she may be boyfriends, whatever. She'll never forget that guy. That's what I talked about earlier. You will become that woman's fantasy. And what a thought to be a woman's fantasy, like a beautiful woman is fantasizing about you. Not because you're rich, not because you're good looking, not because you're famous, but because you injected something into her life that she's desperately seeking today. And all women around the world, as I travel around, have the same message. We're missing that element of seduction. That's what's missing.
Yeah, the topic of romance novels comes up quite a bit in conversations that I have. And you pointed out that interesting fact that, you know, essentially nothing sells like romance novels. And when guys pick them up, they're a complete mystery. They look at it and they go, this doesn't make any sense to me. And that's because they're looking at something that was meant for the female psyche,
right?
Not for the male. And that the details and all of the stuff that's in there is written in female code. But what they miss, for the most part, is that inside of these romance novels, that there's typically a man acting like a man.
Mm-hmm.
And that if you could read the other side of the story, almost like the wicked version of the Wizard of Oz, if there was, you know, a version of that same story looked at through the eyes of the man and communicated through the eyes of the man, it would be a totally different story, but it would probably make for interesting reading for a man.
Exactly. Exactly right.
So, yeah, women are really attracted to this manliness, and it's not that you have to, you know, I think a lot of guys, like, you know, look at the cover of a romance novel and think, you know, yeah, right, I'm going to dress up like a pirate and, you know, steal this woman and chain her to the
right
mast or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's not what it's about. That's just the, you know, the finish coat.
It's a metaphor. Yeah.
It's the veneer on top of the real thing.
Exactly. The thing is, there are no real men today. And that's what I hear from women all over the place. My friend Brent in New York, that you know as well, did an interview with you, I believe. He told me one thing. We were sitting on a subway in Chicago, and he said this to me. It was really late at night, and I've never forgotten it. But he said, you know, he's from New York, and I'm not. And he said this. He said, of all the women I know in New York who are power women, they're CEOs, they're captains of industry, they are investment bankers, they have everything in their life together. He said that every single one of them have told me that they'd give it all up for romance. They'd give all that up for romance. Women are fundamentally missing something today. And a man that can come along and give that to them, they'll never forget it. And they absolutely desperately need it. And men who are good with women never defend themselves from a reputation. Like they would never, a woman or a man who says, you know, you're a player, he would never defend himself from that. Let people talk about them. Don't give validation to what they say. He knows the truth. And the truth is this, he never plays with emotions. He's very honest with women. Men who are good with women and have been for centuries recognize one thing, and that is this. Honesty is the greatest aphrodisiac, and they're very honest with their intentions. Immediately the woman knows what his intentions are, what he's all about. She knows that he's not going to be just her friend. She knows that any interaction he has with him in the future is going to be along the lines that, you know, you're a cute girl, and you and I are going to get together. That's his frame. That's his attitude and his frame of reference. Without presuming that she's going to, without thinking I'm the prize, and if you don't, it's your loss. Because that's trying to get validation again. He recognizes that if you spend any time with me at all, you and I will get together, and he tells you that. That's the thing about these guys who are really good with women, the rare few, they will tell a woman exactly. They'll say, listen, I like you, and you and I are going to get together. I say that to women all the time.
You know, a few years ago, I mentioned in one of my programs something that, you know, is very similar to what you're talking about. You know, it's no coincidence that we stumble across the same stuff.
Right.
Or maybe it is a coincidence. But the insight that I had was I've gone through a lot of years of my life looking at attractive women and thinking, wow, if I could get one of those, that would sure be cool.
Right.
They're so rare and valuable. And then, you know, part of my whole deal is I'm always trying to see the perspective that no one else sees. I'm trying to turn things around in my mind. And I thought, huh, well, you know, how rare is a guy that is interesting to women? And then it hit me, you know, it was a big epiphany. And it was that one of these real men, a guy that really has all this stuff together, all these skills and self-image and knows who he is and what have you, is far more rare than an attractive woman.
Right. Exactly right.
And the whole paradigm or the whole game or the whole situation just reversed in my head. And it went from a scarcity to an abundance realization. And, you know, things just really haven't been the same since.
Yeah. It's a compelling mindset. And we all go through this journey of self-discovery and understanding that. And we have self-limiting beliefs, and that's what holds us down. We think, I remember in New York, a guy came to me and said, listen, I can never get women attracted to me, or that women will never like me because I'm too short. And I said to him, I said, the only thing you're short on is the will to erase your self-limiting beliefs, because the guys who've been good in history were not these guys who were good-looking or had money, as we know. And they had something else. They had charisma. They had a way of standing. They had a cadence in their voice when they talked to a woman. It does not matter what you say to a woman. The whole notion of opening lines doesn't matter. There's been studies in England where it shows that, you know, only 7% of what you say to a woman when you first approach her, of the actual words you say, mean anything to her at all. Women rely on their intuition and their feeling of how you approach them, the way you're walking towards them, the way you stand, the way you lean into them, the way you look in their eyes, your body language. Women recognize that, and they know instantly a guy who's comfortable around women, who likes women, and I've said this many times, a man who likes women is liked by women, and she will allow you into her life in ways that she would never allow another man. There are men that are allowed liberties with women, and the women say, you were just different. And that it's a very interesting thing. as you said, you know, we start out from these frame of reference where there's women out there who are so beautiful, and I wish I could have one of those. And you change, like you said, happened to you, where you go from a scarcity frame to a abundance. And it's because it's the difference between power and force. We try and force our situation by learning opening lines and learning new ways to say things. And if she says this, I'll return this kind of an answer. And as opposed to a guy who just has power and he recognizes it and he doesn't need validation from women, and the women recognize that man as well. It's very compelling, and it's the cool thing about it is it's very learnable. It's not easy, but it is definitely learnable. Anybody can learn it.
Yeah, one of my favorite opening lines, you know, or pickup lines or whatever, conversation starters, that has become, you know, again, a personal favorite to teach to guys who ask me is the word hey.
Exactly.
And the reason I love it so much and I love teaching it so much, when guys say, well, you know, it's a great pickup line, I say, you know, the greatest pickup line is to just say hey. And it's especially great for a beginner because what it makes you realize is that with the word hey, you can't really screw that up too bad.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, and there aren't a lot of fancy ways to say the word, but it causes the awareness that, oh, wow, the word isn't it. It's all this other stuff, how I'm holding myself, the way I'm looking at her, my tone of voice,
mm-hmm.
You know, just the whole thing, everything but the words. And then, of course, when you get to the next level of evolution and you've mastered that other stuff, that's when specific types of opening lines and whatever start to make more of a difference.
Right, exactly.
And that's when, you know, you'll be in a situation, and because you have your body language and your intention in your life and your direction and your self-confidence and all that stuff together, you'll notice something in the environment, or she'll do something, or something will happen, and you'll recognize that you can say something that is only right for this particular situation at this particular moment, and it'll be magic, and then it can really be powerful. But until you've got that other stuff handled, hey is the best thing you can use.
I like that a lot, and that's part and parcel of what I kind of say and do. Like I'm different than other men in that when I talk to a woman, when I go up to a woman that's cute, and I'll tell her, you're kind of cute, you make a good girlfriend for me, I tell her right away, who are you? And I lean into her. And that's opposite of what I think a lot of men do. They try and lean away to portray that I'm not needy, and they kind of look over their shoulder or whatever. I don't know anything about that at all. If I see a girl that's cute, I let her know, and I'm leaning into her. Because I don't do it from a frame of, please like me, and can I buy you something? It's different. It's like I'm having enormous fun in this world, and you could be included if you want to come along because you're cute, and I like cute girls, and you should come with me. And women will say, well, I don't want to be just another one of your girls. And I'm like, I understand. What was I thinking? But of course, you'd be my favorite. I always tease, and you invented the concept of cocky, funny, that whole notion of that, but it's what naturals do inherent in them is they tease her and they act like they're having enormous fun. They never take her or themselves or the situation seriously ever. They make fun of the whole thing themselves too. And that's another interesting point is that guys who are good with women, the natural seducers, the enlightened seducers of the world for centuries, forever, have recognized the power of self-deprecating humor. That's another trait of naturals, guys who are really good with women. When women say they want a guy with a sense of humor, that's what they're talking about. Not necessarily they want a guy who can tell jokes and, you know, that kind of stuff and make fun of other people, but to make fun of yourself is very compelling to women because it shows a frame of self-confidence that most men won't do. And you will hear most men say, well, I can't make fun of myself because I don't want to put myself down. Guys who are good with women, from Errol Flynn to Casanova to George Clooney, make fun of themselves all the time. And it's really attractive to women. It's another trait of men who are natural seducers.
Yeah, as a a side comment to that, my observation is that it's almost universally done, you know, the same as the tough guy crying at the wedding.
Right.
Where it's a confident, you know, almost too comfortable guy who's making a little fun of himself. It's not someone that's obviously very insecure and weak saying, oh yeah, you'd never like me because I'm just a dumbass.
Right, exactly. It's different. It's that, you know, the guys who are really good with women have learned one thing, and that is this: you can't be too good. Even though they are, even though they know all the massive things that they can do, they're so comfortable around women that this girl here, he knows exactly how to get her attracted to him. But they recognize one thing, and that is this: you can't be too smooth. You have to portray a little bit of vulnerability. And guys who are really good with women inject that into their life, into their interaction with women. They will come across as being a little bit vulnerable, a little bit compelled by her, and they can't help it. They will let her know, like I can't help it to be attracted to you, and you make a good girlfriend for me. That type of frame. They know that if you're too smooth and you're too good with women, see, the thing is, women feel vulnerable sometimes. They feel not so pretty sometimes. And a man who comes across without that same level of humanity, of being human, they will try and reject you to prove a point. And so guys who are really good with women will inject vulnerability into their interaction with women. It's the same thing that, you know, Cary Grant said when he was asked on about his success with women. He said, I tell them that I can't get it up. And it's so true. Women need to understand that you are human. And they will recognize that you're good with women, but you're not this guy who's 100%. You're not that perfect seducer. Guys who are good with women consciously, and underscore that word, consciously inject vulnerability into their interaction with women on purpose.
You know, I'm interested to hear your thoughts, too, on, I don't know, a year or something after I wrote my original book, Double Your Dating. I started, looking around. It was right after I did my Advanced Dating Techniques program. And I realized that, you know, you get to these levels where it's almost like putting on another pair of 3D glasses. Everything becomes dimensional that wasn't before. And what I saw was that guys who were really naturally good with women were using a different method of communication, like a different model of communication. And they could be talking about the same stuff. They could be talking about work or the weather or what's going on in this bar or their car or anything. But it was the way they were doing it, not the content, that made the communication about attraction. And I coined the term sexual communication for this, not because it's communication about sex, but it's communication about anything or any method or mode of communication that is on this other level that is kind of going towards sex and romance. That's the direction it's going. And when you're watching one of these guys who's a natural work, you can see that when a woman kind of opens to him and the conversation, that that's what's going on.
Exactly.
And I know you know what this is because you can see it firsthand, but now, you know, I can, you know, be out at a restaurant or a bar or standing at the bus stop or whatever, and a guy will walk up and start talking to a woman. And by spotting this combination of this sexual communication, you can know what page that interaction is on or what direction it's going within seconds.
Yeah, that's very interesting because to natural seducers, they have this mindset, this thought. Every woman is his woman. Every single one is his woman. Every woman that comes and talks to him is coming to talk to him for a reason, to get close to him. He lives his life believing that every interaction in life with a woman is a seduction. And, you know, it may not be true. It may not be true that she wants to sleep with him or whatever, but he lives his life that way. It's a very compelling and very endearing way to live his life. These guys believe that women are lacking in passion, and that is their mission to give them back again that passion and those dreams that she had as a little girl. And every guy who's good with women has that mindset where they're all his women, and he has immense compassion for women, immense compassion for women. And so, yeah. And so he never hides his intentions of what he's interested in or what he's all about. And body language, like you said, that sexual communication, that's huge. If you ever watch the movie 9 1/2 Weeks with Mickey Rourke, and you watch the way, go rent it, because in Mickey Rourke's early movies, he had this notion of eye contact that's absolutely compelling. Watch the way he talks to Kim Basinger in that movie, 9 1/2 Weeks. He's just met her, and she's averting her eyes and whatever. And he keeps eye contact. He moves his head around so he can keep eye contact if she's trying to move her head away. And it's very compelling. And the other movie that sticks out my mind just as I thought of it here is the movie Angel Heart with Mickey Rourke. And the way he has eye contact with women in there is what you want. It's the whole notion of being all of a sudden delighted by her because you just discovered her. And that sexual communication happens all the time. And it could be it's with every woman. Doesn't mean you want to take her home. Doesn't mean you want to, that you want that girl to be your girlfriend. But every woman will respond to the same things that women have always responded to. And that's a guy who can do that sexual communication and be that guy who can be, inject some passion into that interaction right now. It could be a waitress, could be a 60-year-old waitress, and you give her that notion of flirtation and that notion that she's a woman. And because she's a woman and I like women, well, you're beautiful. And women respond to that in droves. They can't help but respond to it. It's very compelling to women, and it's hard to describe. But it is the essence of what makes a man good with women, to recognize, to like women and to recognize that they're beautiful and to make them feel beautiful. You do that and they'll follow you all over the place.
Yeah. Feeling something, causing a person to feel something or feel passion or laugh or have a surprise, can be very powerful. You know, if you're, you're down having a couple of drinks at happy hour with a friend and you meet a really attractive woman who's in a nice business suit, and she's obviously a successful professional, and you start talking to her, and 10 minutes into the conversation, she talks about how, she's in a good mood because she's got a promotion, and she had a proposal accepted, and you can tell she does well for herself. And you shoot back, don't give me that. You probably stand around the water cooler chatting with your friends. I wouldn't have even hired you myself.
Exactly. Whatever.
What's happening there is, if it's done in the right way, of course, it has to be done in a way where she smiles and laughs or hits you or whatever. You're not just doing something that's funny. What you're doing is you're creating tension. You're doing something unexpected, and you're essentially saying to her, I've got pretty high self-esteem because I'm going to mess with you, you powerful woman.
Right.
You don't walk up to some woman that's, sitting on the sidewalk with her head down and she says, I just got fired. And you go, well, I can see why. You probably stood around the water cooler. It's what you're doing is you're making fun of a woman who would never do that. And the context or the paradigm that's happening here is this is sexual communication, because you're using the content called her work, her profession, the job, the conversation you're having, and you're taking it to a different level. And it sounds like one thing on the surface, but on another level, it's a completely different thing.
Exactly. There's a whole subtext, and it never ends. The whole undertone is that you're this guy who is like absolutely smitten by women, and you know what you're all about, and you know that there's lots of women, and you don't come from a frame of scarcity or of neediness, and it's very compelling. Like, every interaction to these men is a seduction. Everything. Every woman that interacts with them and talks to them is doing it for a reason, because she is attracted to him. That's his mindset. Might not be true, but he really believes it. And it's very interesting, because you talk about, like, the woman at the water cooler and these powerful women, etc. Like, people have asked me, one thing I'm not, David, is I've never said this. I say it in all my talks. The first thing I say is I'm not a pickup artist. I am not a guy. I'm not that guy. I'm not a pickup artist. That part doesn't interest me at all. Can I go into a club or a party or whatever and get phone numbers? Yes. But what do I say? And to break that down and to get that phone number or to get that girl to come with me doesn't interest me at all. And so I don't remember it. The only thing I say is hi. And then I can't remember what I said or what she said to get to that point. The part that I've been interested in studying is that sexual communication and that 90 minutes over a glass of wine on a date or when you have that girl. That's what interests me, and that's what I remember, and that's what I study. Because there is a subtext there that you alluded to and a notion of being absolutely compelling and with your eye contact and with your presence that you project into her that that's what I try and talk about, and that's what I try and teach, and it's very hard to teach that, actually, because guys can teach, you know, tactics on how to get phone numbers, opening lines, et cetera, and I never do that. I talk about how to get that girl absolutely massively attracted to you over that glass of wine. That's what interests me.
So talk to me a little bit about the dysfunctional nature of relationships. I'm interested to hear about your, you know, thoughts on this, because lately it's just been something that's come up a lot in my awareness.
Yeah, you know, like you said earlier, David, is a man can learn how to get dates and how to get women and get women into bed and get phone numbers, etc. But what universally men are lacking is the notion of how to keep that girl, how to keep her, and how to be so compelling that she just like is always following you around and being that guy that she wants to be around all the time. There's a lot of guys out there that can get phone numbers, email addresses, first dates, second dates, get a girl in the bed, etc. But we're missing something else. And the thing is, relationships are an amazing thing, especially in today's society, because they fail so often. And yet, no matter how many relationships we have and how many fail so spectacularly, we still go into the next one with complete optimism that this time is going to be different. Can you think of any other venture of humanity, business or otherwise, that fails so often as relationships that we wouldn't say, okay, something's wrong? But we don't. We repeat the same mistakes over and over and over again. We go for the same type of girls. They go for the same type of men. And we think it's going to be different this time. No, I learned my lesson last time in that relationship. So now I know. And yet we fail spectacularly in the next relationship as well. It's amazing we are so optimistic when we were first starting one. And we really do think this time will be different, but invariably it devolves into the same dismal cycle of start dating, become exclusive, fall in love, all the ups and downs, vicissitudes of life. Is this really what I want? Used to be more, whatever. We need counseling. Where are we going to be in 5 years? All that. It's a cycle. Every relationship follows the same pattern. Everyone, all of our relationships do the same loop. And it's societal, and it's the way it's constructed. And that's what I think is wrong. I think that the notion of a relationship having to have a start point and a end point way out there till death do us part, I think that's misguided today, because we don't know what's going to happen. People change. It's like you're on a freeway together and you're in this lane and she's in that lane and you're going as, you know, the same speed, but it's possible that at some point her lane takes an exit and it can't be changed. And so we put expectations on relationships, and when we start to analyze them, when we start to say, where are we going to be in 5 years? And you used to be more like this, and you used to communicate more. When we start to analyze your relationship, and it isn't pure and beautiful and natural in its own right, without being propped up and without having to quote unquote work on the relationship, society's construct of relationships today doesn't work. We know that. It's like Heisenberg's uncertainty principle from physics applies to relationships, and that states something along the lines that the moment you attempt to examine something, you change it. That's my belief on relationships. If you start to question where it's going or what the plan is, you change it fundamentally. You take away the element of spontaneity and beauty that that it should have. So, I mean, like I have a whole DVD on relationships. Exactly what I'm talking about.
So what are some of the things that you teach guys to do to get from unsuccessful with women to successful with women?
Well, I guess what it is, David, is that you're unsuccessful with women. To get successful with women, you can learn a lot of things, the whole techniques and tactics that work. And the whole fake it till you make it type of thing. And there are things that you can learn, absolutely, that will work, that will get you more women in your life and get you more attractive to women. But it misses something fundamental, and that's the layer underneath. And that's the layer I'm talking about. I don't talk too much about tactics and techniques, but I do talk about the notion of changing yourself fundamentally, your mindset, changing the self-talk that we all have that says, I'm not good enough, I'm not rich enough. When I get this, then I'll get women. When I do this, then I'll get women. And none of that matters, because that comes, what I'm trying to talk about is where it comes from, a place of being centered in yourself. And until a man embarks on that journey, he'll be floundering about. He'll learn a little bit. He'll learn about, you know, the surface stuff and tactics and techniques. But until he comes from a place of centeredness in his own being, where he doesn't need validation by a woman, and he doesn't need to prove himself to other men that he is this guy. And it's very philosophical, and it's very conceptual, but it is the true power that men are missing today. And that's where it comes from. So I teach something different than other men do, for sure, than other teachers are teaching. I'm not, you know, I don't teach Dr. Phil stuff. I believe that the men, or the self-help industry, the multi-billion-dollar self-help industry in the world today, the Dr. Phils of the world, has that message has missed men completely. We all feel lost. And so I teach, what I try and instill in men is the notion that they can learn to be more compelling, more excellent, more enlightened, if you will, in their interaction with women. And I do believe that. I believe, I have a lot of compassion for people who are seekers. And, you know, we all want to be good people. We want to be compelling. We want to be magnetic and charismatic. And we want to have that grace and that poise. We want to be the leading man. We all want that. And it will come. But what we have to do is change our fundamentally how we view the world around us. And that's what I'm trying to talk about. I mean, like, if I say anything to men at all, If I am doing anything at all, I'm trying to teach men that women are beautiful. Because when you believe that, they start to believe it too, and they will open themselves up to you. So it's changing your self-belief about yourself and the way you view the world and your universe. And it's not easy. Because what's easy is to go home after your work. You know, like, here's a normal man. Here's a normal man in his normal relationship. He goes to work 5 days a week with his lunch pail on his knee, and he comes home on the weekend, he watches football, and he mows the lawn. That defines our entire life. We live to work as opposed to working to live. And women are bored of that guy. They don't want that guy. They want a guy who's compelling. And so, but it comes from you. It comes from inside you. It comes from inside your heart. It's a choice. It's not anything. It's not your circumstances. It doesn't mean if you're rich, or doesn't mean if you have a good job. None of that matters. It's a simple choice. And what I'm trying to instill in men is the notion that if they make that choice, all the universe will line up for them the way they want it to be. If they say, this is where I want to be, this is what I want to be wearing, the kind of woman I want to be with, the kind of life I want to be living in 1 year from now, and they head towards that, no matter what, and they erase everything in their life that doesn't look like that, that's the key. And the reason we don't is because it's easier to come home with your lunch pail, put it on the counter, and go turn on the TV. And that's what we do. And so our lives are defined by this cycle of ennui, I guess you could say, and mediocrity, We're mediocre, and women are tired of mediocre men. That's why I've said this at your seminars before. I've said, women are a gift from men to me. And I really do believe that. I believe that men package women up and they hand these women to guys like me who will inject a little bit of passion in their life. I might not be around there forever, but I definitely will give them that. I will make them feel beautiful again. Those men are the ones that are compelling to women. So that's what I'm trying to teach. It's a difficult thing to teach, but it's a simple choice. Anybody, any guy can have that as soon as they choose it. And they head towards it no matter what. Sorry, there's a long answer, but
I'm thinking about when you meet a dog that you don't know. I'm not talking about an attractive woman. I'm talking about an actual canine here. And my old mentor used to say, a dog knows if you like it or not immediately.
Yeah.
And if you meet a dog that's relatively friendly, there are some unfriendly dogs and there are some dogs that have such low self-esteem that they're afraid of everything. But if you meet one in the, kind of an average dog and that's, nice and likes himself, I guess, and you pet him for a second and you go into the mode called let's play and you do something to be playful.
Yes.
And you might just kind of like reach down and kind of like tap him a little bit or, kind of like spank him a couple times or kind of run towards him and then run back. The dog knows that this means it's playtime. Somehow you can communicate with the dog that I want to play and let's have some fun. And when you're talking about this communicating with women in a way that draws out that passion or makes them feel beautiful or makes them have that, powerful emotional response, it's the same thing. There's a way to do the same thing, but with a different type of communication. For lack of a better term, I'll call it this sexual communication that we're talking about.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you asked me what I try and teach men who are unsuccessful women to be successful. I mean, laugh and enjoy life. Laugh at yourself. Women automatically want to be caught up in something fun and exciting. And if your life is purposeful, you have a compelling life, you have a certain joie de vivre that makes you an interesting person, someone to be admired, you will attract women to your life who you respect and who amuse you. And that's what you want. You want women in your life who are exceptional, not just a woman that, will come around and be your Friday night date. As you move through life and your experience with women grows, you start to want to be around compelling women, like women who are exceptional, who have a different mindset than normal women. And what's key is this, you have to remember this. The answer we seek, because we're all seeking, the answer we seek can never be found in a woman. We will never get that validation that we're looking for. It comes from inside ourselves where we say, yes, I know my place on earth. I know my place in the world. And I know that women are all my women. I'm this guy who has this notion that every woman is my woman. Doesn't matter. We all know that no really interesting woman is single. They all have some kind of guy. They're either married or have a fiance or a boyfriend or a guy that they sleep with or a guy they can call or a guy who calls them all the time, or they have options. And a man who's good with women recognizes this and never gives it another thought. They're all his women. And he interacts with them on that level and women respond to it. So it's a fundamental change in how you view yourself and how you view the world around you. And it's a simple choice. And once you make that choice and say, I'm going to head towards this picture I have of myself, no matter what, that's when all this will attract your life. It's amazing. And it's the secret of success, certainly of success with women.
As we kind of alluded to before, there's almost two kinds of guys that are relationship material. There's the majority of those guys who are kind of walking around, with their umbilical cord in one hand looking for a woman to plug it into for approval and
that's funny.
Love. And then they're the kind that really get it. And they're relationship material because they're the kind of guy that every woman wants. And you mentioned that you teach some different concepts for relationships. I'd be interested to hear your perspective because I have an intuition that it has to do with category number two.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the thing is this. A guy who's good with women, a guy who's a natural seducer, he might be in a relationship. He might be married. He might be with a woman for 30 years. That doesn't change who he is fundamentally. Women everywhere, like I said before, will respond to the same things that women have always responded to. It doesn't matter if you met her 5 minutes ago or you've been with her for 30 years. Women still desire the same thing that they've always desired. They want to be seduced by you. And that's what we're lacking. And that's what men are afraid to do. We're afraid to be this guy who's a seducer because seduction has the whole concept of manipulation. But the dictionary has two definitions for the word seduction. Number one, the act of leading astray. But number two, something that attracts or charms. And that's what I'm talking about. When you talk about that second definition, there's a concept of beauty in it. And it's what's lacking in all our interactions with women today, in our relationships as well. And I really think that if a relationship will not last, if we go through the normal routines of life, we go to our jobs, we come home, we watch TV, we make dinner, we go for dinner, whatever. We do all these things. Those relationships will not last because a guy like me will come along. And that's the thing. Your relationship with a woman will last as long as both of you, and here's the secret, I believe, of relationships, as long as you and her are both seeking some kind of way to be more excellent in life. In other words, you're kind of on a spiritual journey. And by spiritual, I mean the very broadest sense of that word. I don't mean religious. I mean spiritual, that you're trying to be more compelling. You want to take maybe salsa lessons, or you want to be a better person. And she does as well. Those relationships will last. If you don't, if you just go through your normal modes of life, your relationship will fail. For sure. And that woman will seek out somebody else. And, you know, I've said it before, no one ever steals your woman. No woman or no man has ever stolen a woman from another man, ever. She leaves because she has to. And we get mad at the other guy and we get jealous, but it has nothing to do with him and everything to do with you. You package her up and you hand him to other men. And so I really believe that the key ingredient to relationships that will last forever, I don't believe in happily ever after. That's a myth. Okay. It does not mean that the next woman I'm with, it doesn't mean that I won't be with her for the next 40 years. I don't discount that at all. And I'd be happy. It just means that she's more compelling than all the other women in the world. That woman today and tomorrow and the next day. That's all I know. But to artificially say our relationship has got this time frame on it, happily ever after, and to try and box it in like that is a recipe for failure. If you are not absolutely delighted by her, listening to her, and but having your own life to be together apart, that's the key. We wrap ourselves up into this, you know, two has become one. That's a fallacy. What you have to do is to be together apart and to be on a journey yourself of trying to discover a more excellent way of being in life, and she is too. That's the secret. If you just go through the motions of life and try and say, okay, now we're going to rent movies and we're going to go home and we're going to do this over and over and over again without trying to improve yourself and her trying to improve herself, your relationship will fail for sure. That's my take on it. Very, very succinctly stated.
So in this conversation, a couple of things have come up. One has been your DVD program. Another one has been this notion of sexual communication. My program called Sexual Communication on the topic is at daviddeangelo.com. How can someone find your materials or get in touch with you?
My website is, and where the products are available, is enlightenedseduction.com. So enlightened, www.enlightenedseduction.com. And that's where we talk about all this, all these different things, and the DVDs are available, et cetera, on that website.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for taking the time to talk to me.
Yeah, it's been very enjoyable.